I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, please get a Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians. I encourage you to get a Bible on the pew if you don't have your own Bible, and please look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, and read through verse 17. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the privilege that we have to awake our friends and family to be spared to another night. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to come together today to worship Thee. Thankful for the freedom that we have, and we pray that you would help us to realize what a great blessing it is to be able to come into the house of the Lord. That not only we have the freedom, but we have the physical health to be able to be here, and we have a desire. We can say with David of old that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we're thankful that we have the privilege to be here today, and we pray that you would help us as we try to lift up our voices and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Help us to sing in the Spirit and sing with understanding. Pray that as we begin to study thy holy word, that thy Spirit would be our teacher. I ask you to loose my tongue, give me a ready turn of thought, bless me to be able to preach thy word, and that thy people would be edified and thy name glorified. Pray again that you would bless all those that are sick and afflicted. We thank you for the good reports. We thank you for some that have been sick that are doing better, and we pray that you would continue to bless each one. You know the needs of every person here this morning, and we pray that you would bless each one regardless of their particular needs. You know their needs, and we know that you're able to supply every need. So bless each one, and we pray that you would not bless us according to what we deserve, but bless us according to thy mercy and thy grace. For we acknowledge that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need thy help every day. So help us now and bless us. Be with all of thy people the world over. Bless every congregation, wherever they're assembled together in thy name. Bless each preacher to preach the word, and bless all of us to hear and understand, believe and obey thy word. Bless us now in this hour. Bless our nation. Have mercy on us all. We pray in the name that's above every name, the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We'd like to read now from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. The Word of God says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Is it possible for us to be deceived? Is it possible for someone to deceive you? And all of us can be deceived, and that's the reason the Word of God says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Seems that the word walk is the main theme all the way through chapters 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians. We're going to be looking at that expression of walking and the command for us to walk. I'm not going to dwell on that right now, but right here it says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Also going to be studying about light. Verse 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, one of the things that we can clearly say is, it is the will of the Lord that we follow the Word of God. And I want us to go back to verse 14, because I want you to notice that there is a very clear progression of things that God tells us to do, beginning in verse 14. Look again at verse 14. He says, the first thing that he says that we need to do, he says, wherefore, he saith, what's the first word there after that? Awake. What's the first thing you did this morning? You woke up, very first thing. Then what's the second thing you did? He says, awake, thou that sleepest. What's the second thing he says to do after that? Awake, thou that sleepest. And then he says, and arise from the dead. That means get up. Wake up and get up. That was something my daddy said to me as long as I was at home. He would come through the room and he would say, wake up and get up. Sometimes people wake up and then they just lay there for a while. And what happens when people typically happen or sometimes happens when people wake up, but then they just lay there in bed, what sometimes happens? They go right back to sleep. And I know that this is not the literal lesson. He's not telling us just, you're asleep, now wake up, but there's spiritual meaning behind all of this, and we're going to come back and look at that. The first thing he says is, awake, thou that sleepest. Second thing he says is, arise from the dead. And the promise then that he gives is, and Christ shall give thee light. We need light. We need light in order not to be groping around like blind people. We need light, we need wisdom, we need understanding that can come only from God. So he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now look at verse 15. He says, see then that ye, what's the first thing? Awake and then arise. God will give you light. Now what's the next thing that he tells us to do in verse 15? Walk. Wake up, get up, and then walk. Walk. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Don't walk like a fool. Can children of God wake up and get up, arise, and have light, but still choose to walk as fools? Sometimes we do. So he says, don't, when you wake up and you get up and you have light, he says, walk circumspectly. Don't walk as fools, but walk as wise. Then he says in verse 16, he says, redeeming the time. That means you need to be careful about how you spend your time. You need to take the time every day to always be mindful that every minute you have is a gift and a blessing from God. You're to redeem the time. You're to buy back the time. You're to purchase the time. You're to use your time wisely. Don't be wasting your life. Have you ever felt like you've wasted a day in your life? Has the day ever come to a close and you thought, you know, I just don't think I've done anything at all today? Well, you may have woke up and you may have arisen and you may have had light and you may have tried to walk circumspectly for a while, but sometimes you waste a lot of your time. Sometimes people end their lives and their whole life has been wasted. They have not been redeeming the time. They have not been purchasing the time. They have not been using their time wisely. And then the 17th verse says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Hasn't he just given us the will of the Lord in verses 14, 15, and 16? Now this is God's will. Sometimes I have people say, I wish I knew what God would have me to do. I wish I knew what the Lord's will was for my life. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that God would have you to do is just follow what God's Word says. And I've given you here, or God's Word has given you, some specific things to do. And I want us to go back this morning to verse 14, and we'll probably just concentrate on verse 14, but probably, the Lord willing, we'll come back tonight And we'll continue this study on the sequence of things that God would have every one of us to be doing. There are some things that God has for me to do that He's just called me to do, and some things God's called you to do, but there are many things that all of God's children are to be doing. You understand that? That there are some general things that all of God's children need to be doing, and the passage we're looking at this morning is telling us some things that all of us need to be doing. So the first thing He says is, awake, wake up. Sometimes, and I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead, because I want you to understand who He's speaking to. He says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And I don't want to dwell on arise right now, but I want you to know that these people who are sleeping, they're sleeping among what? The dead. Is there a difference in, and I hope that you'll see this just in just a moment. If I go out to the graveyard out here, and I start hollering, wake up, am I going to wake anybody up? I'm not going to wake anybody up out there. They're dead. And did you know that sometimes God's children are so missing, so much missing a spiritual walk that as you look at them, you can't tell the difference in whether they, you can't even tell they've been born again. Does everybody understand that? That they're so near dead that they're, did you know sleep is just very close to being dead? When you're asleep, you're very close to being dead. When you're put to sleep for surgery, you get into a deep sleep, you're as close to death as probably you can get without actually being dead. And the call here and the command is, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Wake up. Because right now, you look like you're dead. And I don't see any spiritual life being manifested in your body. Did you know if I were to come into this room and there had been carbon monoxide poisoning, and it's a colorless, odorless, tasteless gas, and all of you were basically asleep, some of you were dead and some were asleep, would it be hard for me to tell the difference in those that are asleep and those that are dead? Would I have to go up to you and kind of check on you, maybe to feel, are you still, is your heart still beating, and are you still breathing? There are children of God that are so much asleep spiritually that if you look at them, you might conclude they're dead, and in fact they are alive, but they're still asleep. And God's Word tells us here, awake thou that sleepest. Get up. Don't be living like, don't be acting like, don't be among those that are dead, don't be walking like those that are dead. Get up. Walk different from them. Well, let's go back to that arise, but I just want you to understand the call here is not a call from death to life. It's a call to those that have life, but they're so near death, they're asleep. Have you ever been asleep spiritually? I had this thought as I've meditated and studied on this week. I typically sleep about 6 to 8 hours every day. And then I wake up in the morning and I go and I do various things. But you know what I do that night? I go back to sleep. And then I get up the next day. But every day, listen, brethren, I believe that just as physically I go to sleep and I wake up and I stay active and then I go to sleep, and sometimes I take a nap during the day. Sometimes I am worn out. Sometimes I've been up all night, and sometimes during the day I may take a nap during the day. My point is this. I believe that sometimes in our spiritual lives we kind of go in cycles, and there are times that we're asleep and it's time to wake up. And sometimes you wake up and you're awake and you're active for a while, but then what sometimes happens? You go back to sleep spiritually. And then you stay asleep for a while, and maybe somebody will come along and have enough love and concern for you as they see you asleep spiritually that they'll begin to shake you or work with you or talk to you and say, you need to wake up. And you wake up and you say, I'm sorry, I did not realize I'd fallen asleep. Sometimes when Teresa and I are traveling, sometimes sometimes the driver, he doesn't go to sleep, but he's as near being asleep, and she'll wake me up. She'll say, "Are you awake?" Well, my point right now is that God's children need to be woken up many times in their lives. I'm only born again one time, but I need to be woken up many times in my life. It is so easy for the people of God to get weak and weary and tired in their spiritual warfare that sometimes they just lay down and go to sleep. And when you go to sleep, and when you see other people asleep, you need to go to them and say, "Wake up! Get up! Wake up! Awake thou that sleepest." When you're asleep spiritually, you're not really conscious of what the surroundings are that are going on. When you're asleep spiritually, you don't even recognize there are things major wrong in your life. You're asleep. You don't care. You remember how one time that Jesus came to an individual and said, "He's sleeping." And Jesus said, "If he's sleeping, he doeth well." Well, there's a time to sleep, and there's a time to get up physically. But there is never a time to be asleep spiritually. Though we go to sleep, and though we cycle out of spiritual activity, we need to pray that God will help us to be awake spiritually. Not asleep, but you're going to go to sleep. And God knows that you're flesh. Does God know that I'm going to sometimes go to sleep spiritually? And one of the great blessings we have is, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that when somebody goes to sleep, there was a couple that used to come to church here. They're members of another church now, but the husband had a common practice of going to sleep during church. And when he would go to sleep, she would take her elbow and she would punch him in the side. And it was almost every Sunday that she would sit there and she would punch him and she would punch him and she would wake him up. He just seemed to sleep all the time. And I would ask him, I said, "Why do you sleep so much?" He said, "I stay awake long enough to make sure you're going to be on the right track. And then when I know you're on the right track, I just rest my eyes. I'm not really asleep." Well, listen, brethren, when people start falling off the pew, you know they're asleep. When people start rolling over or falling over, you know they're asleep. And sometimes I talk to some of God's children that are asleep spiritually. And I say, "What's wrong? You need to wake up. You need to get busy. You need to be more active spiritually." And they say, "What did you wake me up for? I'm not asleep." But they are asleep. They don't even know they're asleep. So God says we need to wake up. Wake up. Get away from things that are not good for you. And get busy doing things that you need to be doing. For example, back up in your Bibles just a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Word of God here talks about something in particular that you need to wake up to. When I was a boy, you know what we woke up to every morning? It wasn't cold cereal. You know what we woke up to? That's right. I don't know. You must have been raised in the same era as me. Grits and eggs. You'd hear the grits. You'd smell the grits and the eggs and the bacon. Now, brethren, that's something that'll wake you up is whenever you smell the grits and the eggs and the bacon cooking. And I would encourage all of us to realize there's something good to wake up for. Spiritually, the greatest joy in this world is not to be asleep spiritually, it's to be awake spiritually. There's something wonderful for the people of God. If they will just wake up, it's there for us. Look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to verse 33 and 34. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 and 34. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Do you know what that means? What does communication mean here? That means association. Does it make a difference who you hang around with? Evil communications, if your friends are dead spiritually or are asleep spiritually, guess where you're soon going to be? You're going to be asleep spiritually. However, if you're around people that are active and are busy doing things, it will help motivate you. So he says, evil communications corrupt good manners. If you want to be a good spiritual child of God, you know what kind of people you always need to associate yourself with. You always need to be around good, active, spiritual children of God. And so he says here in verse 34, after he says that evil communications corrupt good manners, look at verse 34. He says, awake to what? Awake to righteousness. Not just wake up, but wake up to something. Get busy about being righteous. And I know that we need the imputed righteousness of Christ, but the Word of God also teaches that there is a practical righteousness that's a result of us doing things that honor and glorify God. And so it is that the Scripture says here, awake to righteousness. You need, first of all, to wake up and see who is the only one that is righteous in every way. Did you know you need to wake up to that fact and the reality that there is only one good? You need to know that Jesus Christ is the only one that's good and perfect and holy in every way. And one of the reasons you need to awake to that fact that Jesus is the only one that's perfect is because sometimes when you do wake up and you start serving God, what do you feel like? Have you ever seen a proud Christian? Now really, that's a paradox. In fact, it's not a paradox, it is a contradiction. You can't be a proud Christian. A Christian is not just a believer in Christ, but a follower of Christ. And whenever you start getting busy and you wake up and you start doing something, how many of you have ever been mad because there's other people sleeping and you were already up? We go to church camp. We have barracks that a lot of people will have 30 or 40 people in one room. And you know what will happen if there's one person still asleep or a few boys still asleep in the boys' dorms? You know what will happen? Guess what the counselor hears? Over and over, one boy after another. He's asleep. He's asleep. He's asleep. They want to tell on the brother. Sometimes when we start serving God, sometimes when we wake up, sometimes we're so busy looking that others are still asleep. We feel real proud that we're awake and they're asleep. And God's not pleased with that. You being proud that you're awake does not mean that you're pleasing God. Just waking up is not all there is to it. Well, you remember the different steps he made there in Ephesians chapter 5? He said, what was the first thing? Awake, thou that sleepest. Then what? What was the second thing? Arise from the dead. Get away from those that are dead. Arise from the dead. What was the third thing? Walk circumspectly. And what was the fourth thing? Well, we'll go back and look at that. See, that's the reason we need to study. We'll go back and look at that later. The point is, do you see the progression that ought to be going on in all of our lives? You need to be growing. You and I, as children of God, we need to grow spiritually. You can't grow spiritually if you're asleep spiritually. The best way to grow spiritually and be strong spiritually is to do everything that the Word of God taught us to do there in Ephesians chapter 5. And one of the things he says is awake. The first thing is awake. Awake to what? What does 1 Corinthians 15:34 say we need to awake to? Awake to righteousness. Be awake. Be realizing, first of all, that Jesus is the righteous one. And the only righteousness that will get you into eternal heaven is not your righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need to wake up and see what real righteousness is. You need to wake up and see that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Aren't you glad to know that you have the righteousness of Christ that will enable you to be in heaven one day? That's a great blessing. You need to wake up to that truth that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Jesus is the way. It's His righteousness alone that will get us into the eternal heaven when we die. But there is a righteousness that we get when we awake and arise and walk and do the other things that are taught there in Ephesians chapter 5. When we do those things, there's a practical righteousness that enables us to have fellowship with God right now in this world. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is a heaven that God has prepared for His obedient children right now. There's an eternal heaven when this world is over, and that is by grace and grace alone. But there's a kingdom of heaven where we have fellowship with God each day, and that only comes to the people of God who wake up, rise up, and walk and do the other things that are taught in the Word of God. There are many of God's children that are asleep. I've been asleep some this past week. I'm talking about spiritually. I've been asleep some. And we need to pray, God, help me not to go to sleep spiritually. I need sweet rest at night physically. My body needs sleep physically. Jesus even told his apostles, come ye apart and rest a while. You need physical rest. But even when you lay down in your bed at night, can you still be awake spiritually? Can you lay there and can you think about the Word of God and pray and commune with God? Listen, there are a lot of people in the nursing homes right now, they can't get up out of bed. They can't walk at all physically. And they lay there day after day, and some of them are so close to God that they're walking about Zion every day. They're so happy in the Lord. They're rejoicing in the Lord. And some are going to die today, and they're never going to have 1 minute of fear because they're awake spiritually. We need to be more awake than what we are. We need to awake to righteousness. Back up in your Bibles just a moment to the book of Isaiah. Back up to Isaiah chapter 52. Listen carefully. Look in your Bibles at Isaiah chapter 52 as we look at that first thing in Ephesians 5:14 that the Word of God says to do. Awake thou that sleepest. If you're asleep this morning, you know what you look like? If you're asleep spiritually, you look like you're, it's a four-letter word. You look like you're what?
Dead.
That's right. You look like you're dead. And do many Christians, as they look around, and Christians love to judge people. Have you ever noticed that? The Christians love to say, oh, he's not saved. He's not saved. She's not saved. She's going to hell. Listen, brethren, it could be a child of God that's just asleep. Sometimes you don't look like a live child of God. Sometimes you look like a dead child of God. And you need to wake up, and instead of concluding that everybody's going to hell out there that doesn't look like a Christian, you need to conclude they may just be asleep, and I need to try to wake them up. I try to wake up a lot of people. Sometimes I find out they're unconscious. They're either dead or I don't know what's wrong, but that something's not there. But isn't it wonderful when you go to somebody that's just asleep spiritually and you start talking to them and you wake them up? Is that a good feeling when you can wake somebody up spiritually? Great, great blessing. In Isaiah chapter 52, still looking at the first step, which is awake. Can you get up and walk before you wake up? Well, there are some people that sleepwalk, but that's not normal. The first thing you're supposed to do is wake up. Then you get up, and then you walk. Right now in Isaiah chapter 52. Look in your Bibles, please, at Isaiah chapter 52, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, now let me ask you this question. Awake. Is that a new problem in 2009? Is 2009 the first year that God's people started going to sleep? Well, maybe 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote to the saints of God at Ephesus, maybe that was the first church. Maybe that was the first time that children of God went to sleep spiritually. Was that the first time they went to sleep spiritually? No. Well, maybe back here in Isaiah chapter 52, let's hear what Isaiah said 700 years before what we read in the text in Ephesians chapter 5, 700 years before that, the Word of God says in Isaiah 52, God calls to His people and says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. He's talking to the people of God. He's talking to the church of God. He's talking to those that are, what is their condition right now while He speaks to them? What are they? They're asleep. They're sleeping. And so it is that God calls to them and says, awake, awake. Now when you wake up, and you get up, do you sometimes need to put on something? You need to put on your clothes, right? And the Word of God repeatedly talks about, in fact, Brother Mike or someone earlier in praying said, help us to put off the old man and put on the new man. Sometimes God's people want to put on the new man and they haven't ever taken off the old man. And they stink. You know, one of the worst, that's what people call hypocrites. Is people that they try to put on a new man, they put on a front, they put on a face, They act like they're real clean, but inwardly they're like Jesus said of the Pharisees. Inwardly they're full of dead men's bones. What does the Word of God say? Awake, awake, put on thy strength. You know who your strength is? Who is your strength? Do you need to look to Jesus for the strength you need every day? Every day. Every day. You see, the Scripture says, in Hebrews chapter 4, the Scripture says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find what? Find what? Find grace to help in time of need. I need saving grace. That's what gets me into eternal heaven. But I need serving grace. I need the grace of God to enable me and help me to fight the good fight of faith every day in my life. I need strength from God. If I ever try, and I try sometimes to fight in my own strength, I try to beat the devil up, I try to win the fight. You can't win the battle in your own strength. It's only through Christ Jesus. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. Who is your strength? Christ is your strength. And so he says here, the Word of God says, awake, awake, put on thy strength. What's he saying? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs to be in you. You need to be in Him. That's the only way you're going to be able to fight the good fight of faith. Wake up and put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. All of you look real pretty. Some of you, I can tell, have been to the beauty parlor during this past week. Your hair, some of your ladies, your hair looks real pretty. Some of you have on clothes I haven't seen before. They look real pretty. But let me tell you what my mom and daddy had always taught me, and I've heard all my life. Pretty is as pretty what? Pretty is as pretty does. The Word of God here says, put on thy beautiful garments. It doesn't matter how pretty your hair is. Doesn't matter how pretty your clothes are. And let me also emphasize, it doesn't matter how ugly you are physically, and it doesn't matter how tattered your clothes are, you can still put on those beautiful garments. You can be beautiful in the sight of the Lord. And if you're beautiful in the sight of the Lord, you're going to also be beautiful in the sight of His people who are awake spiritually, because they're not going to be looking at your natural clothes. What are they going to be looking at? They're going to be looking at your beautiful garments. They're going to see Christ in you when you put on. What do you have to do before you put on thy strength? And before you put on, what do you have to first do? You have to first wake up. Get up. Put on those garments. That's right. Wake up. Get up. And put on thy strength. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth, and listen, brethren, you know what Isaiah is speaking about here? This is a prophecy of the coming of the kingdom of heaven. And though they experienced some of the great joys right here in the days of Isaiah, if you go home and you study this in Isaiah, this and chapter 60 and 61 and 62 of Isaiah, you'll find that Isaiah is prophesying a coming of the kingdom of heaven, the new Jerusalem, that God's obedient children can experience here in this world. He says, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and unclean. Can you enter the kingdom of heaven when you're walking in disobedience to the teachings and commandments of God? Absolutely not. No, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Where is the kingdom of heaven? Give me the scriptural definition of kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. What is it? Righteousness and what? Peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you experience and feel and have? And where is it? That's what it is. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. There's so many people that are running around, so many children of God running around saying, oh, I just can't wait till I die and see Jesus. I'm telling you, brethren, they're missing a lot of Jesus day by day in their lives. And the only way you're going to see Jesus every day and have fellowship with Jesus every day is if you do what the Word of God says to do. Awake! Get up! Put on your garments! Get out and walk and And we'll come back, Lord willing, tonight and look at some of the other things. Right now we're looking just at just the first part, just wake up. Because, and you say, well, why are you spending so much time on waking up? Because you can't do anything else unless you're awake. And sometimes you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to say, Lord, help me wake up. You're going to say, Lord, help me wake up. Has the alarm ever gone off for you in the morning and you just jumped up and you were ready to go? Does that sometimes happen? Has the alarm ever gone off for you and you just reached over and turned it off and you just fell right back asleep? And I've had people say, my alarm didn't go off. Well, maybe so, but probably you turned it off and went right back to sleep. I've done that, and I don't hardly remember turning it off, but that's what happens to God's people. We must wake up. You know the reason America's in the condition it's in today? It's not because of dead alien sinners out there. It's not because of the unsaved. You know the problem in America today doesn't have anything to do with those that are dead in trespasses and sin. The problem in America is because the Church of Jesus Christ, it's because the children of God are laying down with them, and there's virtually no difference as you look around America today. You can ask how many people go to church, and you could go to a stadium, a football stadium on Friday night, and you say, all of you that went to church Sunday, stand up. And half of them may stand up. But I'm telling you, brethren, there's very few of those half that stand up that go to church. Very few of them are awake spiritually. They're still asleep spiritually. And my call and my admonition to you this morning is, wake up. I need to wake up. You need to wake up. America needs to wake up. God's children in America need to wake up. We are in a serious condition today. And again, I repeat, the only reason we're in a serious condition today, you cannot place the fault at the president's feet. You can't blame Washington, D.C. The reason we have major trouble in America today is because the church is asleep. We must wake up. Look at verse 2. We're still in Isaiah after he says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, put on thy beautiful garments. He says in verse 2, Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Look at Isaiah 52 and verse 2. The Word of God says, shake thyself from the dust. What do you think that means, shake thyself from the dust? What do you think the dust represents in this passage of Scripture? What could the dust represent, Brother Richard? Okay, it could be the dead. That's good. What else? The bed. Okay, you remember Jesus came to the man and told him to rise and take up thy bed and walk. All right, what else could it represent besides the dead and the bed? Say it. Okay, the filth of this world, the flesh. What are we made of? We're made of dust. That old man is the dust. It's the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And so it is, he says now, shake yourself from the dust. Get it all off of you. You cannot run the race that's set before you till you first lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset you. So he says, wake up, shake thyself from the dust. And then he says, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down. Does that sound kind of funny? Arise and sit down. What do you think the spiritual meaning here? When he says, arise and sit down. Listen, brethren, when you wake up and you arise, you can sit down in Christ Jesus. You can rest in Christ Jesus. But you'll never sit down in Christ. You'll never rest in Christ. You'll never find that joy and peace in Christ Jesus until you first awake and arise. Then you can sit down. And then when you sit down, guess what Jesus will do? Jesus will say, now come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You see, there's a sitting down in Christ, but it's also a laboring in Christ. There's great peace and rest and joy. The Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4, let us labor to enter into His rest. Now, go to Isaiah 60 very quickly. Look at your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 60. Rise and shine. Brother Neil knew where I was going. Rise and shine. That's what Isaiah 60 is all about, is rise and shine. In Isaiah chapter 60, the Word of God says, arise. What's the first thing you do now? Before you arise, what do you have to do? Wake up. And then when you wake up, what do you have to do? Get up. Arise. Why? Because if you don't arise, you're going to go right back to sleep. Well, wake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. Now Isaiah 60 says, arise. Shine. Can you let your light shine? Do you have a light to shine? Did you know sometimes people have a light to shine, they put it under a bushel, they go to sleep. But others, children of God, they arise and they shake off the dust and they shine. Their lights are shining. Arise, shine, for, look at the next part of that verse. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Who is your light, brethren? Who is the light of the world? It's Jesus Christ. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Really, you're just a reflection of the light, and the light is in you. But you can shine because Jesus is in you. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Has the glory of the Lord risen upon you? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Did you know, I think I know everybody except maybe two, three, four. I think there are only four in here that I don't know. But did you know that even in those four, I've already seen the light of God in them? Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. The light of God. There's a bright light back there in that back corner. First time she's ever, boy, she's just sitting back there just beaming, glory just shining. New York. Anything good ever come out of New York? Isn't that what they said about Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, there's some good folks in New York. There's some good folks in California, even in San Francisco. There's some children of God. There's some good children of God. You know what they've done? Woke up. Got up. Shook off the dust. Put on their beautiful garments. And their lights are shining. And it makes great joy flood my soul when I look and I see there's a child of God that's awake. There's a child of God that has gotten up and put on His beautiful garments and His light is shining. You remember that? Go back. I'm not going to ask you to turn back, but in Ephesians 5:14, you remember that verse that says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and what? What's the promise? And Christ shall give thee light. The only light you have that's of any value is the light of God. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, everyone that followeth me shall have the light of life. Oh, there's some people think they have the light. Get them a Bud Light. Let me tell you something, brethren. Your light's going to be out. That'll douse any light. The light of life is Jesus Christ. It's a joy to see the light of God shining in your faces today. And I pray that God will help you. Can you go to sleep? Can you go to sleep tomorrow? Do you know the number one day that children of God are awake? Guess what? The number one day, 7 days in a week, guess what the number one day is they're awake? Sunday, I think. Monday, listen, sister, I see them on Monday, and I don't know if they're even born again sometimes. You know, they look dead. They're gone. But Sunday, now what's my admonition to you this morning? Stay awake. Stay awake. Don't go to sleep like I do sometimes driving down the road. Stay awake. May God help us to honor and glorify God with our lives. And do the things Ephesians 5:14 through 17 teach us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.